Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk. Listening to Under a Shady Tree with Terry, and well, tonight just Terry. This is Reverend Terry Power, and my bride, my partner, my best friend is taking a class that has to take her away from us on Monday and Thursday nights. Of course, Monday doesn't impact the show. But Thursday nights, she has a little difficulty getting on the air with us. So, unfortunately, she will not be making it tonight. If she does, it'll be very at the very end, and she might pop in to say hi. But otherwise, she is still around, and we will be doing our full moon ritual on Tuesday night coming up. So, you'll want to tune in for that. But tonight, I am not alone, so you don't have to listen to an hour of me rambling. We are joined tonight by a special guest, Ginger Ackley, an amazing musician, a wonderful voice, and just a pleasant lady to talk to. And so let's go ahead and bring Ginger in and say, hi, Ginger, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Terry. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for joining us. So, let's see. So I guess there might be one or two or three people out there in the world listening to our show that are not familiar with Ginger Ackley. So would you honor us by telling the listeners a bit about yourself, actually as much about yourself as you'd like to say? You are the guest tonight, so please tell everybody about you.
Well, I guess it all goes back to Texas. That's where I came from, actually a sixth-generation Texan. I was born and raised there, and at one point, we started going out to Renaissance fairs and that kind of celebration, and the music started speaking to me so loudly, and so I started playing for my friends out in the campgrounds and around that sort of situation, and started playing actually in the Ren Fairs, and got hired by a little Ren Fair, and that was my sort of public debut, I guess. Now, I've got 5 kids, and they were all pretty much grown by this time. So I was kind of free to step out, but I started this a little bit late in life, I guess. But the more I played, the more music I heard in my head. So it became something I could no longer ignore.
It just that kind of spilled out, huh?
Yes. And then in 1997, one of my daughters and I had the opportunity to go to a very special spiritual place in Bosnia called Medjugorje. And at that point, I had, having been Roman Catholic all this time previous, I had a very classic mountaintop experience and was suddenly on the pagan path. And there was no question about it at all, and my whole life had been preparing me for that moment. Then the music really, really started overflowing, because once you're in touch with that kind of a spiritual position, the muse knows that it's real easy to get into your head. And I joke about the little muse. She's about 3.5 feet tall. She's got dark hair. She's got bright green eyes. And she kicks me in the shins when she wants my attention. And I always give it to her. I'm lucky to have a good husband, because he knows. Apparently, I have a look when the muse takes over. And he knows it's at that point that he has to make sure that I eat and that I drink, and that he encourages me to stop at some point early in the morning to get a little sleep, until I get it to the point where she says it's okay and I can go on living. But it's so magical to be in that moment, and it's, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
All right. So you say you were in Bosnia?
Yes. There's a place called Medjugorje, and my daughter and I went there. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before.
I have to admit, in all of my travels, and I travel pretty extensively, I have a vague recollection of hearing that once or twice, but I am not nearly familiar with it. So tell us.
A most unusual and a very spiritual and holy place. It is said that the lady has been appearing there since 1981. And originally this was in a very Roman Catholic sort of context, but it is spilled over, and it reaches to all spiritual paths now, because what the message that comes out of there is all about peace. And world peace, and peace in your own heart. And there are a lot of healings that have happened there. And my daughter was carrying a baby that was in need of healing. We knew that the baby only had a partial heart. And the epilogue there is that baby is almost 20 years old now, and has graduated high school. She's had several surgeries, but she's perfectly wonderful and fine. But this was where I first came in contact on a one-to-one basis with the lady. And looking out to the west as the sun was setting, this is an experience that, if you've heard of Fatima back in 1917, where the lady appeared in Portugal, this is very much like that. And I experienced very much of what was described in Fatima, and a lady's voice inside my head 3 times said, "All gods are one, follow your path." And when I got back, that was the only thing I could do. So, I have a very broad base of spirituality, and that's where it really became real for me. And I started to understand what spirituality was as opposed to religion. And that comes out in my music a lot of the time. And it's she'll wake me up in the middle of the night, the little muse will, and I'll have a song that's exactly about that. So music seems to be the best way to get a message across. So,
yeah, there you go. If that's working for you, then that's what's working. Now, the songs that I have heard have a particularly Celtic kind of influence, but I haven't heard
Indeed.
You mention anything particularly Celtic in your telling us about yourself.
I have Irish and Scottish roots, along with German and Slovenian. But when we went out to when we started out at the Renaissance fairs in Texas, it was the Irish and the Scottish music that drew me so very, very strongly. It was like, if I learn a song or I write a song that sounds Celtic, it's more like I'm remembering it than I'm writing it. And there was a band, everybody remembers the Clancy Brothers, but there was a band from Scotland called Silly Wizard that was out around the same time, and their lead guy was Andy M. Stewart. Absolutely incredible band. And in later years, I got to actually meet Andy on a Celtic Nations cruise down to the Caribbean. But I heard a recording of him, his voice, singing If I Was a Blackbird, and we were at a little Celtic celebration in Bedford, Texas. I was all the way across the festival area, and they were playing this song across the loudspeakers, and I my head popped up, and it was like I had radar going, and I had to find that music, and I ran all the way across the festival to find out who that was, and immediately got hold of every recording I could from the band. So big influences there. And if you fast forward through time, in 2005, in January, I got to go on this cruise, and Andy M. Stewart was there, along with Danny Doyle and Danny O'Flaherty, Aoife Clancy, all big names in the Celtic community, and they had a songwriting contest. And you had to write a song about leaving one place and going to another, but it couldn't be sad. It couldn't be a sorrowful, oh, I'll never see the motherland again. It had to be an uplifting song. So, always traveling with my auto harp, I wrote a song called It Is Time. And it was about leaving this country, going back to Ireland or Scotland or wherever, to retrace my family's, my generation's footsteps. Because it was time for me to go home and learn the lessons that I needed from the older generation and learn from the land that I needed. So this song won the contest, I'm happy to say. And Andy M. Stewart grabbed my hands and looked me straight. And, oh, he had the most wonderful blue eyes. And he said, "Lass, you write in the old style. Don't ever stop." So I was pretty much solidified on my songwriting path at that point. And I mean, crazy things have happened. I'm a big Dan Fogelberg fan. And one morning in Texas, I sat up and I had a Dan Fogelberg song blasting through my head. I sat straight up in bed and I said, "I wonder what that would sound like in Irish." And that was a huge punchline because I had not even one word of Irish to me at the time. But I got online, I found some people that helped me translate it beautifully. And then I spent 6 weeks in, you remember the old Yahoo chat rooms? Yeah, the Irish chat rooms were extremely pervy, I guess would be a word. And I was trolling for a native speakers to help me learn to sing the song. And I've sung it in Ireland, and it's been pronounced good Irish. Crazy things like that happen. Another song I wrote, Bonnie Green.
Which Dan Fogelberg song did you translate to Gaelic?
It's off his Souvenirs album. It's There's a Place in the World for a Gambler. And the lyrics to that, just they have always seemed to touch something really deep inside me. And it's amazing because the Irish words fit exactly with Dan's original English words. And I have such a grand time performing this because my husband was worried that people wouldn't get the Irish. So we have almost a call and response now when I do this song. I'll sing the Irish and he'll speak the English. And it's become a great favorite wherever I perform.
Well, I will look forward to hearing that in person sometime when I see you.
Oh, I'd love to do it for you.
I follow an Irish Celtic path,
mm-hmm.
And you know those are the stories and the gods and the goddesses that speak to me.
Oh, indeed.
And
indeed.
And those stories found a way into my heart and then into my mind. And you know, while I tend to work with some archetypal energies these days because the Stag King has claimed me for his own, that too has Irish or Celtic roots at the very least.
Oh, very much.
You know, so those stories, definitely resonate. And this show, in what we were talking about in the screening room, you are my guest. And I say that in all of the ways that the Celtic peoples meant that.
That's
and
the deepest, yes.
We understand hospitality. I mean, What other cultures deposed a high king because he was not hospitable enough to his guests? You know?
Absolutely.
You know, so you know that's the way I was raised, and to have those stories that reinforce that raising and then to have them resonate with my heart, you know, I get it. That's why I wanted to ask about that Celtic connection.
Absolutely, Terry. And from the whole point where my mind and my soul were opened up to the wider spiritual path, it was Bridget that first called my name. And it was an extremely special moment. A friend of mine before Medjugorje, before Bosnia, had given me as a gift a set of the Celtic Wicca tarot cards. And I really didn't understand what they were, but after I was put on the path, I was just sort of flipping them, and the card with Bridget came up. And it was like she was speaking in my head with the same voice that I had heard in Bosnia. And so I started studying more and more and more about the Celtic stories and the ancient beliefs and the ways and how people treated each other and how they connected with the divine everywhere. That's what really, really, really solidified me, was the way that my spirit recognizes the same spirit that's in the plant, the green plant in front of me, which happens to be a pot of shamrocks, actually, and the rocks and the trees and the water and the rain and your spirit sitting on the other end of this phone line, and everything so that, that I no longer had to say I believe in something I can't see. I was experiencing deity 24/7. And that,
there you
are. You know,
all
that's
is
the,
sacred.
That's it. And that's why we're hospitable. That's why we Celts are hospitable, because underlying it all, underlying the niceness and politeness and, you know, the cup of cider, we're recognizing the God and Goddess in each of us.
Exactly. We live what people mean when they say namaste. We
exactly.
Don't just
it's a manifest deity.
We live it. We live, I honor the divine spark within you with the divine spark within me. And we connect.
And I reciprocate.
Yeah. Say again?
I reciprocate entirely. And it is so wonderful. It's a living prayer when that happens. And that's,
yes.
That's you know, that's
and
the why
you
of it all.
Feel it, once you feel it, you can't not live it.
That is so very true. And you,
you
find
know,
out you
not,
find out that there is that there are yeah, you talk about the archetypal energies and that sort of thing, and they just have different names in different places. And so as I started down this wonderful path that actually had been walking right alongside of me all my life, I started getting stories in my head about Manann and MacLir and about different Celtic energies and stories and that sort of thing, and the music just started flowing. And I don't ever want to be not there, you know. It's the best.
I understand. I connect with the master craftsman, with Lou, and I create with my hands. I don't create music as you do. Your gift is different. But I have that. I'm the kind of guy that if I want something, my first inclination is to make it, not go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
indeed.
And so I honor Lou, the master craftsman, with everything I create, because that is the, you know, that is the to me, that core of Celtic life is creating, whether it's creating music as you do, whether it's creating, and where's the line between an art and a craft? You know, when an object is useful and beautiful, is it an art or is it a craft? Or is it something in between? Or is it just Celtic? You know?
Right, right. And actually, I heard or overheard a semi-argument between two people at a museum on that very subject, and one was trying to say, well, if you know you sit down and you just make it with your hands and it's useful, it's a craft. And the other person is going, but if you put your soul into it and it touches somebody else's soul because it's beautiful, it's art. And did I get a look from both of them, because I was getting ready to play music and I looked up and I said, but don't you see, it's both art and craft if it comes from your soul. And they started to say something back, and neither one of them could say anything, because what else could you say?
Yeah, because it's both, exactly.
Yeah.
So
I could run a machine and knock off a craft item, and you know, knock off 100 craft items, and it wouldn't be that much of a deal, but when I make it with my own hands, even if it's a nail, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I put my soul into it, it's a work of art as well as a craft.
Absolutely. So, speaking of your craft and your music, tonight, we're going to play one of your songs, and I've mentioned it, I think, already by name. But I understand there's a story to go with it, and I'm excited to hear the story. But tonight we're going to play the Elf King's Horn.
Ah,
and
wonderful.
I would love for you to tell us the story of where this comes from and what it means to you, and just share with us what this song is about.
Well, the story of how it got written is really kind of funny, because it was very early, very, very early, when my feet were on the pagan path. And so I was just starting to experience things in a different way. So my birthday is March 20th, so I'm a Pisces Aries cusp. And that water plays a big, big role in my life. So I'm taking a shower. All of my kids are at home. My kid's dad is there, too, and we have company over. And I'm taking a shower, and in the water, I start to hear a melody. For whatever reason, my silly little brain cell said, I wonder if you could hear something in the water, and I did. So I hear this melody, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and finally it gets to the point where I'm almost panicking. I don't want to lose this because it's this really great melody, and so I dash out of the shower. Fortunately, I remember to grab the towel, but just barely. Most of me is just covered in water. And I rush out to the family room, to our piano, and I start picking it out on the piano. I'm writing it down on a piece of paper and then picking it out and writing it down. And everybody in the house just stops and stares because they know Mom's going completely nuts. This melody, as I'm writing it down, it seems like I'm starting to get almost a movie going in my head. I'm seeing these pictures that go along with the music, and I am suddenly in a place out of place, out of time, out of space. I'm in just in, I had no idea what to call it at the time. It was the first time I had really experienced that. And so I'm watching, and simultaneously I'm trying to write down the music, and there's a girl, and I can see her head raise, and I can hear this sort of crystalline sound. It's a horn, but it's so beautiful, and she hears it, and it sort of makes something settle into place in the right way inside her. And so she becomes very single-minded, and her family are shocked. They're afraid for her because now she doesn't have the same kind of goals and thoughts that they do. She has to find where this music is coming from. So they consult a wise woman in the village, and she gives them a protective spell to weave around the door. So they pin the rowan wood to the door, and they wove the ivy and the vine and the heather to try to make a protection, because they know it's got to be the fairies that are after her, right? That's just the way, you can't explain it otherwise. But it's already too late because she's heard the music and her heart's been touched with love. She goes out, and there's a young man on the hill, and he kind of challenges her and tries to get her to come dally with him. And she's like, no, I can't do that. I have to go. I have to go because, my heart lies where that music is. And I can't, you're beautiful and great. Thank you for thinking of me, but I got to go. It's actually the Elf King in disguise, but don't tell anybody till the end. And so she leaves her home, and she travels all over the world, and she's always following this music. And what I kind of experienced in this sort of quick vision was just something so beautiful, and always drew her, and she could never be away from it, never wanted to be away from it. So she travels, and people feel sorry for her because, you know, she's obviously touched in some way. And then it's All Hallows' Eve, and she's walking across kind of a field, and then all of a sudden in front of her there's a hill that wasn't there before. And then from the hill, there's a door that opens. And from this door, there is this golden light that feels so warm and so home and so bright. And from inside that hill, she hears the music that she has been searching for so long. So she approaches the hill. And the young man that had tried to tempt her on the hill comes out and says, "My love, you have to the land of the she been born." And it is the elf king himself who's blown the horn in order to find his one true love. And so forever they are there under the hill in the she, happily dancing forever. That's the story. And I heard it in the shower, so I know it's true because it's water.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, let's go ahead and listen to the song and then a commercial and some, you know, some stuff that's got to be done. But then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more and talk about the future. So thanks a lot for being with us. Thank you for that wonderful story. Now, everybody, enjoy with me The Elf King's Horn by Ginger Ackley.
Pin the rowan to the door and twist the vine and the young bee more. Bring heather sweet and the pure hawthorn and listen for the elf king's horn. Grassy hill, there stands a maiden proud and fair. Alone is she and never loved to share. For within her heart is a song so sweet and clear. A horn does blow that only she can hear. A young man waits on the hill late upon the summer's day. And fair a face is he. There he stood for to court and to try her love. Old maiden, pray come and tarry a while with me. Look in the rowan to the door and twist the vine in the ivy more. Bring heather's sweet and the pure hawthorn, and listen for the elf king's horn. Good morrow, sir, but I shall not go with you this day. Though fair you are, and willing to bide with me. For my heart lies there in the night where song is born. My love I hold for the one who does sound the horn. Her eyes were set where the sun travels on to the distant west. So sad was she, and her heart was not her own. For my love, she said, will I leave all I hold best? And said he, nay, then for'er shall I lie alone. Open the road door and twist the vine in the ivy more. Bring heather sweet and the pure hawthorn and listen for the elf king's horn. Away she went through the land, oh, a wandering soul was she. The horn and the one who did play it true. And although she passed did weep her fate to see. But heed the call was all her poor heart could do. On Hallow's Eve, when the moon was full in the frosty air, she came upon a circle of stone so cold. Rounded hills did appear there before her true. From deep inside rang a melody her heart knew. Open the rowan to the door, and twist the vine and the ivy more. Bring heather sweet and the pure hawthorn, and listen for the Elkin's horn. Where there was but grass before, Miss Rebel Gay came the sound she was searching for. Golden light so warm did beckon her deep within, to find the one who had chanced her heart to win. And before her stood the shining young lord who had sought her hand. My love you have to the land of the Sheevan born. We will wed, and our love shall forever stand. Your heart was called by the Elkin's horn. Open the rowan to the door, and twist the vine and the ivy more. Bring heather sweet and the pure hawthorn, and listen for the
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
Listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you for Virginia.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and usually with Robin, but Robin is taking a class for the next 7 or 8 weeks and will not be joining us very much on Thursday nights until that is complete. But you can still hear her right here with me on Tuesday nights. And the occasional Thursday night, she'll be able to join us. So, but tonight, we are having a great conversation with Ginger Ackley. My newest sister in all that we apparently feel and do and know. So Ginger, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Terry.
The song just tugs at you. So powerful. Thank you very much for sharing that and sharing the story.
I love being able to share the story, Terry. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad you did. Now, you were saying during, when you were telling the story of the song, and I don't know if you heard me start chuckling, when you said your birthday, my birthday is the very next day.
Oh, on the awesome. 20,
on the 21st of March.
Uh-huh.
So I feel that fire and water, not duality exactly, but the, you know, together they make steam, I guess. But
Oh, yeah.
And I can be steamy, I guess. But, you know, the... I'd say
we should get together sometime and have a birthday party, really.
I think that would be a blast. I think that would be absolutely a wonderful idea. But I got what you were saying about the water and, you know, the spirituality and the power and inspiration of water. I also feel that fire that goes with the Aries, and you know, being a day later, actually within Aries, maybe I feel it a little more strongly. But I definitely got what you were talking about, the water. Hearing a song in the, you know, hearing a song or music in the running water, is something that has started with that I have started noticing myself. So I got what you were saying exactly, and that was kind of interesting to hear someone else tell a story, but you actually got a full blown song out of it. I just hear music in the distance that I can't quite hear, but I can't not hear.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
I know what you mean. And it's gotten to the point, Terry, where I have heard and I've been given it. The way I see it is I've been given music from all four elements. And that some of my music, it's hard to say I wrote it. I guess I just wrote it in this iteration. But it seems to come across the plains. And it's like someone else is sharing it with me and I'm taking it down for them almost.
Yeah, you're not
writing
the song
and
taking it down.
Yeah, I think we were talking.
We were talking over each other. I'm sorry. Say again.
I'm sorry. I've heard music and fire as well. I used to actually run a fire performance troupe in Texas, and two of my kids were in it. And the sound of the fire, the fire has its own music. And there was a song called One Alone that I wrote based on the music that I heard the fire. So I'll have to send that to you someday.
I'll look forward to it. I've heard, you know, I was in Panama a few years ago, and I was blessed with an opportunity. The one morning, I'm in a pair of jeans, barefoot on the beach, on the Pacific Ocean. And that afternoon, I am on a mountain high enough and centered enough on the isthmus that I could see both oceans.
Oh, awesome!
And the elevation necessary for that, you can imagine, is pretty substantial. And the climate's very different up there. But I sat there on a rock and crossed my legs and just listened to the wind and the voices in the wind. And there's no doubt in my mind why the ancients felt that their gods lived on mountaintops. Because you could hear the voices and feel the presence of the divine, and the spirits playing with your hair and your clothes, and it felt that just such a deep connection. And so, you know, I get it when you're talking about some of the things you've been saying, I'm like, yes, yes, exactly.
It's such a joy. It's such a joy to speak with someone and to share this and to know that you get it too. That's it, because it, sometimes people that haven't gotten to this point spiritually kind of look at you with a blank look because they don't get it. And that's difficult, but you know, you plod on because you're part of their becoming. But yeah. It's so wonderful to be able to speak with someone who does get it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing the stories. Robin and I talk all the time about we walk an experiential path. Our collective spirituality is one of experience, not of revelation. You know, there's no scriptures. We experience the divine, each of us.
Yes.
Everyone that listens to my voice experiences the divine in their own way, some more deeply, some more tenuously.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes with practice and with embrace and acceptance. I mean, frankly, sometimes it's just a matter of accepting that that's what it is, and then it opens the gate. I talk about gate and border guardians, and that's another conversation for another time. But
we
hold ourselves back sometimes. But, you know, that experience, and then Robin always talks about we as leaders are here to validate the experiences of others. So when
absolutely.
Someone said,
that's, yeah.
I felt this, and is that, you know, and you got to say, yes, I get it. Yes, I felt this. I did that. And then they know that they're feeling it, that they're there. And that helps them to take that next step. And by validating those experiences for that one person, we've helped bring them closer to connection with the divine. That's not a bad gig.
Nope, not a bad gig at all. Well, I'll take it any day.
So thank you for sharing your stories and allowing me to share a couple of mine with you. We are hurtling rapidly toward the top of the hour, however. This time has flown by tonight, and I we'll selfishly look forward to the next opportunity you and I have to talk, hopefully in person with musical instruments and a fire.
Yes.
I'll bring a couple of drums. We'll have a party. But it is time to start talking about what you have coming up. Appearances coming up. Do you have any projects in work that you want to share and kind of tease us with, or, you know, you tell us what you've got going on.
Oh, that's perfect. October 19th, if anybody's in the Ohio area, I'll be in Medina, Ohio at the Lodge at Allerdale. I've got a great 2-hour concert that I'll be giving there at a beautiful park, beautiful metro park there. The 30th of October, I may be joining Brian Henke for a couple of pieces out at the Mustard Seed in Montrose, again in Ohio. The 7th of November, I'm going to be at the Pittsburgh Witches Ball. And that Brian Henke is going to be there, and the Troubadours of Divine Bliss are going to be there. And I love jamming out with both of them. I mean, they're just, oh, the music never stops with any of these guys. The theme is going to be the Wild Hunt, and it is going to be absolutely wonderful. And I know you can get tickets online at PittsburghWitchBall.com. And I can't wait. That's just, I was there last year, and I just, oh, that's an awesome, awesome, awesome gathering. Brian Hankey's got the Woodchoppers ball going in December 10th in Kent, Ohio, and I'm going to be volunteering there. I've got two big festivals so far that are confirmed for next year. I've got Beltane at Our Haven in French Lick, Indiana. It's a small kind of festival, but oh my goodness, the heart is big, and it is so Celtic. It is just the whole group there are just absolutely wonderful, and the nature preserve there that they've built is unbelievable. So you can get information on that at ourhaven.info on the net. And then I'm going to be back again at Summerland up in Wisconsin in July. I think they're having it July 8th through 16th this year. Oh, and at Our Haven at Beltane, Tuatha Dé is going to be there. So that's really worth going out and getting tickets to, because it's you'll be camping right there with them, and it's just it's awesome. So that's those are the big things that I have on my schedule so far that have been confirmed. And you said you wanted kind of a teaser for a project that's in the works, and I've got one book out. It's called All Earth's Children, and I've just reissued that. And it's about, you know, the earth and being part of the good changes that go on. It's meant for kids, but the grown-ups like it too. But I've got a brand new book, and again, this it's the story of how this happened is unbelievable, because I heard a melody in a round in a dream, and I had a muse moment where I had my husband fed and took care of me and made sure I would take care of myself. But as I was trying to get the round written down correctly, then the story started coming, and the story I was typing as fast as I could, and then as I was typing, the verses to the round started coming. So it ended up with a wonderful song and a children's book that's going to be called Rowan My Boat. It's in Rowan Wood, and it's about a little boy with shockingly white hair who rides a magic boat up into the sky to gather stardust so that all the children will have good dreams and can remember the joy of being a child when they grow up. So that's in the works. The book's written. I'm looking for a good illustrator. So that's
all right. Well, I'll look forward to our publication a media copy of that, and we'll have you back to talk about it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, and when you're out at Our Haven, you know, the big field there with the fire pit in the center and directly opposite, back up against the creek, away from the bathhouse?
Yes.
That's where I used to camp.
Awesome. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. If you know where Cricket's trailer is, that's where they've been putting me up for the last couple of times I've been there. So
it's been about 15 years since I was out there. I started doing and leading the group rituals out there when there was nothing out there but the pole barn and the bathhouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's still out there, and we need to get people out there. Yeah, we need to get people out there. It's a wonderful place, and they do wonderful things.
So it has been wonderful talking with you. I do need to take a couple of minutes now and talk about how people can reach Robin and myself. And the easiest way to do that is to email littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That's an email address that we both check. Now, granted, she checks it more often than I do. She's way better at this stuff than I am. But we both have access to that email address, and that, again, is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And, you know, if you're interested in any of our services, having us come out to speak at your event, or, you know, Robin is a health coach, holistic health coach, And, you know, you guys know, you know, what I do in the spiritual counseling. So, you know, get in touch with us. Put something in the subject line other than "Hi, Terry," or "Hi, Robin," because that just gets blown past. Sometimes those just go straight to the spam folder. So put something in it that's not going to flag the spam filters, but will get our attention. Because we get a ton of stuff. So put something in there about what it is you're trying to reach us for. Let's see. You can also find me on my friends page on Facebook is Terry Power. I think it still shows me. It shows me somewhere in Pennsylvania, but look for Spiritual Unity Radio Network. That's the Terry Power you want to communicate with if you're looking for me. And Robin's is easier. Hers is just Robin A. McKean, and she is unique, even on Facebook. So you can find her very easily there. And I have a public figure page. That page is Rev Terry Power HP. And there's also a Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page. And all of these pages, you can get in touch with us. And the pages that have the little like button on them, like them so that we know that you're out there. Let's see, some stuff coming up. Oh, where can you see me and Robin? Yes, on the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th of November, we will be returning to Lake Worth, Florida for the Florida Pagan Gathering. We were there Beltane a year ago, and we're really excited about seeing our Florida friends again. And we will be doing, three workshops and then setting aside some time to meet with people that come by and want to talk with us. So if you're in if you're in Florida or the Southeast, come down to the Florida Pagan Gathering and celebrate Samhain. Going to be a ton of stuff going on. We're going to try to do a live remote on Thursday night from there. Friday night, there's going to be a children's Halloween costume parade. So, and tons of drumming circles, Spiral Rhythm is going to be there. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be a huge party. And come down and celebrate Samhain and the ancestors with us. And then in March of next year, we are conducting one of the tracks at the Earth Centered Clergy Conference that will be going on in Indianapolis. We have been honored to be asked to lead one of the tracks, and we'll be talking about building community. So keep that in your thoughts. I believe it's the 9th through the 12th of March. And then let's see, June of next year, we are going to be participating, and we're helping with the organization of, well, we're calling it Sumera Fest, or Sumera Fair, actually, Sumera Fair. Picture Ren Fair Sumerian style. So instead of Renaissance garb, we're going to have Sumerian garb, and we're going to have people out there dressed as and portraying the Sumerian gods and goddesses. And we're going to have some workshops. I'm going to hopefully be helping people to build some mud bricks or make mud bricks. And we're going to build a small ziggurat altar. And so you don't want to miss that. It's going to be very interesting, fun, drumming workshops, some little education, interacting with the Sumerian and Babylonian gods and goddesses. And then, of course, Caldera Fest coming up about October next year. We're already on the list for that. So that's what we've got going on the schedule firmed up. If you need us, get in touch with us at the email address, littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Now, Tuesday night, the 18th, this coming Tuesday, we are conducting our on-air live full moon ritual. So you want to make sure and tune in a week from tonight. We're actually going to be speaking with Anne Marie Augustino, who is one of the organizers of the Florida Pagan Gathering, and she's going to be talking about how much fun we're going to have in November. Then the 25th of October, on the Tuesday after the full moon ritual, we're going to be talking, continuing our series on components of ritual, and we're going to be talking about the ritual working itself. We finished up our series, or the callings and the invocations or evocations. We've talked about some etiquette, and so Tuesday night, the 25th, we're going to talk about actually doing magic and raising energy. And then on the 27th, the Thursday before Samhain, we are going to have Utu Witch Doctor and his voodoo priestess from New Orleans, Miriam, will be our guests right here under the shady tree. And we're going to talk about the ancestors and cool voodoo kind of stuff. So you don't want to miss that. I've already told you about the live remote from the Florida Pagan Gathering, and the Tuesday, the 1st of November, we're going to be doing our Samhain ritual right here on the air. So all of that's going on, and then of course every Monday night, Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory have their show, Voice of Olympus, covering all kinds of very cool stuff from UFO origins to life, influences of the ancients, and a whole bunch of stuff from the Near East and the Greek pantheon. So there's always something going on, and then look for an announcement soon about maybe two more shows coming your way on Wednesdays and Sunday nights. So we're getting to a seven-day-a-week network here. So, with all of that said, Ginger, darling, anything you would like to add or say before we wish the listeners a good night?
Just, I want to thank you so much. You have been an absolute delight to be with here for this little space of time and space that we've been able to share. This has been awesome, and I hope to be back again really soon.
I will look forward to that. And we're definitely going to have to look for a party.
Absolutely.
Drumming and music and a bonfire and get together and enjoy celebrating in person. So I want to thank you personally for sharing your stories and sharing your music and being with us tonight and keeping me company under the shady tree while Robin's in class. So I really appreciate you being here with us tonight.
It's a beautiful place to be, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of our listeners and everybody who joins us here. And you have options. You have different ways you can spend your time, and you choose to spend time with us. And we're honored, and we love you all. And with that, I will wish you a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.